But either way, Jesus Christ always was, still is, the main thing. This is about Him. Amen. Not about me, not about you. It's about Him. Amen. So that'll be our desire this week, to try to draw nigh to Him. And you do that by yielding yourself to His Spirit during the preaching of the Word. Amen. And you yield yourself to His Spirit, and He'll help smooth over my mistakes, because it's about Him. Take your Bible this morning. Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We're going to read a couple verses beginning in verse 22. Acts chapter 16. And it says, and the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Nowadays, we call that inner prison. We call that the hole. We call that solitaire. Amen. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas. So that's the subject. That's who we're talking about. That's who had been beaten and cast into the prison. Apostle Paul, Silas is with him. And here they are, and for doing right, for trying to preach the gospel. And they found themselves in this predicament. And here's what they're doing. It says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That was a witness in and of itself. They took that opportunity to brag on Jesus Christ, to sing about what the Lord had done, and that had an effect. Amen. The Bible says our labor's not in vain. Here they are in a position where they could say, this isn't fair, like you or I might. But they're not doing that. They're saying, okay, what can we do here? Amen. And they're singing praises unto God, and prisoners heard them. And then it says in verse 26, not just the prisoners heard them. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every man's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He was responsible for them. It said, having received such a charge. One prisoner gets loose, then as an example, to make him an example, the magistrates would have him killed. The next jailer would try even harder. So he knew he wasn't going to wait. He wasn't going to wait to be executed. Amen. He was just going to kill himself. That's what that's about. But Paul, verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That in and of itself was supernatural. Take it from somebody that knows. If the doors get opened up at midnight, people are leaving. I'd have been the first one. Amen. That jailer said, something's going on here. And it says in verse 29, then he called for light, that's the jailer, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, why did he even know to ask that? Why is that his response to this supernatural phenomenon that just happened, an earthquake? I mean, he just got two prisoners, a couple of religious fanatics. Nothing significant to him, I wouldn't think, about them, except for they're not banging their little tin cup on the bar saying, woe is me, and demanding their phone call and a visit from their lawyer. The Bible says they're praying and singing praises unto God. I wonder what those praises could have involved. I like the song really well. Charles Wesley wrote a song, And Can It Be? And there's so many verses to that, but I think in the one that makes it into most of the hymn books, the third verse, it talks about the dungeon flaming with light. Well, I remember the day the dungeon flamed with light, the morning in the county jail 33 years ago that I got saved. Maybe that jailer, when he woke up because of the earthquake, and he hears this singing, and they're bragging on Jesus Christ instead of their problems. And he came in and he asked this question, what must I do to be saved? And they answered him. They didn't give him a course on religiosity, if that's a word. They just said it like this, and believe, next verse, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to gather in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you have the preeminence you deserve this hour and this week, and in our hearts. God, I pray that Christians would be edified and encouraged this week. I pray that any behavior that needs to be repented of would be repented of. I pray, God, if there's a soul in here that does not know where they're going to spend eternity, they get that thing nailed down today. It's so easy that an old drug addict, gang member, drunk, at 37 years old, could get saved in a jail cell alone. I'm confident that you're capable and you desire to save all that'll come to you by faith in your Son. God, if that's the need today, I pray that that need will be accomplished. And indeed, there will be a new name written down in heaven. I love you today, Lord. I am dependent upon you to help me say something that'll make a difference to anybody. And I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Let me just start this Sunday morning, the start of this week, with this question. Are you saved? He said, what must I do to be saved? And that right there, those three simple words, are you saved? They make up the most important question there is in anybody's life. Amen. That's more important. I understand issues. I understand cares. Amen. I understand those kind of things. I understand that we have concerns. I wouldn't say nothing else matters. I've got things in my life that matter. I've got people that I care about that matter. I've got a prayer list that matters, but the most important thing, nothing matters more than you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you saved? And here's why it's the most important. That's not just preacher talk. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, and what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You say, Mother Spurgeon, I got issues. If you had none, if you had everything going the best possible way that you could ever imagine it to be, it wouldn't mean anything if at the end of this life you stepped into eternity in a devil's hell. Amen. Nothing will profit a man. There might be areas or issues in your life that you're not sure how the Lord's going to lead you through them. You're not sure what the outcome's going to be. But the most important issue, you can nail that down, because Jesus Christ did all that needs to be done. Amen. In jail, a preacher informed me I made it to a service to get out of the hole myself. Went down there just to get out of the hole. Solitaire for some of you that I hope don't know. And I went down there and I wasn't looking for God. And he preached a message and he told me, and I thank God that he had the guts to. He came down there and said, you die without Jesus Christ, you'll end up in a place prepared for the devil. And he told me I had bigger problems than going to prison. I was looking at quite a few years in federal prison at the time. And he told me clearly, I appreciate his honesty, he said I was on the road to hell. Hell's a real place. Man. I was on the road to hell not because I was a bike gang member, not because of things I'd done, not because I was a dope head or drunk, not because of any of those things. I was on the road to hell because I wasn't saved. Amen? Are you saved this morning? I hope you are, because if you're not, you may be on a completely different road in life than I was. You may be none of those things. As a matter of fact, you're in church on a Sunday morning. You might be a faithful church person from youth. There's millions of Americans in church this morning. You could be on a completely different road than I was in your life, but you're going to end up in the same place I was going to end up if you step into eternity without being saved. Let me ask you again, are you saved? Now, I was down in New York City, and a preacher friend of mine had witnessed to a guy, an older guy, Italian guy, good guy's wife gotten saved, and she was starting to come to church, and of course they had a religious background, and she was brand new, and she was getting it, and he was, you know, he was a nice guy and everything, but he wasn't saved. And when he brought her to church one day, the preacher got a chance to talk to him and said, ask him about it. And, you know, he was, I don't have any problem with a person thinking about it. What we're trying to do is not talk anybody into something. I'm not a salesman. I don't have a sales pitch. I'm not going to guilt trip you into, what a joke that is. But we need to plant the seed, and the seed's the truth. The Bible says that you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we're obligated to tell the truth. Amen. So I'm going to do that this morning. And this preacher asked the guy about being saved, and he, you know, I guess he said something, I'll be thinking about it. He was taking it in. And it was a couple of weeks before the preacher crossed paths with him again. And he asked me, he said, you think about that, what we talked about? And the guy said, yeah, I've been thinking about it. And the guy said something that I've never heard before, never heard since. But the guy told my friend, he said, I think I got the S. I was asking him, are you saved? Would you like to be saved? Do you know how to be saved? Simple word, five letters. And the guy's response was, he was a thinker, and he said, I think I'm getting the S. I think I got the S. Amen. That was a new one on me. But I got thinking about it, and I wondered what he meant by that. And maybe the S that he was able to grasp was the fact that he was a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And if that means anything, beloved, for you and I today, saved or not, we're sinners. Amen. Bible says in Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I tell you what, this isn't turning over a new leaf. This is not getting religion, not salvation. It's understanding that we're sinners. And there's the problem is there's people that think, well, compared to so-and-so, I've never done this, I've never done that. Compared to this crowd or that, I'm pretty good. And you may very well be. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about eternity. Amen. There's a new name written down in heaven. We sang the song, and it's mine. And you get your new name written down in heaven so that you can go to heaven. Because if you're not saved, there your name ain't going to be there, and you ain't going to be there with it. Right. Amen. So the S stands for saved. I was up preaching in Massachusetts again. I talked about Massachusetts in Sunday school. And I was up there, and we go to lunch after the morning service, and I'm at a restaurant with the preacher, and there was a guy there that was a small town outside of Boston, and he was a city councilman. He was something in the Roman Catholic Church. He was devout. He was a good man and all that, and well-respected in the community. And so we're going in waiting to be seated, and a preacher pointed out, this is so-and-so, introduced me, and I said, can I give you something to read? And I gave him a copy of my testimony, gave him a tract. And he was gracious, and he took it. And we went on our way, and it so happened that him and his wife and whoever he is with, we all kind of meet at the cash register on the way out, same time. And he has got the tract in his hand, and he's got it open. And he had read it cover to cover. And he says to me, standing at the cash register, he said, this is an amazing story. And then he said this, you really did need to get saved. And that's the first time it really occurred to me that people might read that story and read the story of the bad stuff I've already mentioned and think, yes, you needed that. You needed him. But I don't. And that guy needed him every bit as much as I do. Right. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, if you're in here and you're saved and you might not have been anything like me or like whatever the worst case scenario is that comes to your mind, but you needed Jesus Christ to forgive your sin just as much as I did. Amen. And I got news for you. If you're in here this morning and you're not saved, you need the forgiveness that Jesus Christ went to the cross to make available. You need it every bit as much as I did. Amen. I hope you make it today. If nothing else, the guy said, I got the S. And but at the foundation of Bible Christianity, that's the ground. Amen. To understand that we're a sinner. Christ died. 1 Corinthians 15 says, Christ died for our sins. So to understand you're a sinner, amen, that's where we got to start. And the guy got it. And I thought, well, maybe that's what he meant. But that's where my mind went. I'll tell you this, I know something about the S. The S stands for solution. I'm from Ohio, and Interstate 75 goes between Toledo and down in Dayton, southern Ohio, where I live. And you drive up and down that road, and there's a big American plastic factory about halfway. And it's a big old company, and the owner's a Christian, sent missionaries out all over the world, you know, supports them. And there's a big and a big lighted sign, 20 feet tall, Christ is the answer. And I used to run them roads high or drunk or doing bad things in the old days. And I'd inevitably drive by that, and you can't miss it, especially at night when it's all lit up. And it says, Christ is the answer. And I think, what's the question? You know, in my, you know, mockery. What's the question? And the question, it's just what we're addressing here this morning. The Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Christ is the answer. Amen. Christ is the solution. Amen. Are you saved this morning?
Amen.
I hope you are. This guy got the S, and we started praying more fervently, get the rest of the alphabet. Amen. But, you know, if you are saved, and it's because you understood you're a sinner and that your goodness, even on your best day, wasn't going to get you into heaven, and that Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his blood to make a way for your sins to be forgiven, well, that delivered you from hell. That put your name in the book of life. But that's just where we start. If you're saved this morning, you got more than just forgiven. You got, well, it's okay, S-A. So let's look at the A. He got the S. I'm praying that he get the A. The A stands for all. And not just all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John, go to 1 John chapter 1. And the Bible says this in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, subject Jesus Christ, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from, what's that say? All. That's what the A stands for. Well, you get saved, you get cleansed from all sin. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, help me out, all unrighteousness. Do you understand this? When you got saved, when you came to the cross, when you admitted you were a sinner, when you got comprehended, the Bible says, believe in your heart that God hath raised from the dead. When you got a hold of that, you got forgiven and you've been cleansed of all unrighteousness. I don't know, maybe for you that was a short list. For me, it's a pretty long list, and I ain't got over the fact that I've been forgiven. I hope you never get over it. We're talking about the A. Here's this. In Ephesians 1, in verse number 6, the Bible says this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, who hath made us accepted in the beloved. That A stands for accepted. The beloved is the family of God. Are you saved? Amen. You're accepted. You've been cleansed of all sin, but you're accepted in the beloved. And by the way, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You know, why would anybody want to mess with the beautiful poetry of the King James Bible? I don't know what the NIV or any of those other, what do you do with that to improve on it? You can't do anything to improve on it. Amen. I got a letter. I think I was on federal paper at the time. And I got a letter in the mail. It said, due to your excellent credit status, you've been pre-approved for the law enforcement visa card. law, and I'm a federal convicted felon. For I thought, this is crazy. I would never do business with a company that stupid. Amen. Pre-approved. Amen. But every company wasn't so dumb. Later on, after working a couple years and trying to do right, I applied for a Visa card, and they said, they didn't phrase it this way, but basically it meant, are you out of your mind? You're 44 years old. You've never had a bank account. You have no credit. And I was rejected. I wasn't accepted. I hurt my feelings. It doesn't feel good not to be accepted. But if you're saved, let me say it like this. You're pre-qualified.
Amen. Come
on. You're pre-qualified as a sinner to be accepted in the beloved of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Amen. Paul's gone. Now you and I are jockeying for position as chief. You get it? We're who he came for. We're why he came. And not just to cleanse us from all unright. Thank God. But he puts us into his family. Makes us accepted in the beloved. You know, we say that at a Christian wedding. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here. And you know what? In a wedding, you say, I do. And then you better. Because you're making those vows before God. But you know how you get into the beloved? You say, I do to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Christ is all. That's for sure. Amen? So S-A-V. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm glad I'm saved. Well, if you don't get anything else out of Dave Spurgeon, understand this. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not as spiritual as I wish I was. I'm not as smart as I wish I was. Any of that. But I'm sure enough glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55. And the book says this. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Yeah, well, where is it? It doesn't have any anymore. Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But, I like that when that shows up. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved in here this morning, you've got some victory. Amen. When the peace sign first showed up, not a peace sign's back. I grew up in the 60s, and the hippies were all doing the peace sign. When that thing first showed up, that was Winston Churchill back in World War II, and the V stood for victory. How it ended up becoming the hippies got it, I don't know, but I've noticed this. It's making a great comeback. Amen. I got a Jeep. Three types of people wave to each other. Harley riders wave, Corvette owners wave, and Jeep drivers wave. And I've owned all three and got two out of three right now. But I've been going down the road, and I'm, a little high, but some will just go. And I have a hard time with the, because I became a biker just so I wouldn't have to be a hippie. My wife is a hippie. I wasn't a hippie. Amen. But I'm thankful today for victory. Amen. Are you saved?
Amen.
Well, you got a great victory, didn't you? Your name went from the victim column to the victor column. Amen. You know, I think it's time for Christians to start living like victors. You know what? It saddens me that this great tendency in our great country to just embrace victimhood. It's like people are looking for something to use as an excuse to be whatever, to not strive for the best, to not just, I mean, we've glamorized being a victim. We got a whole new alphabet of syndromes and symptoms and everything, and it's become popular to be a victim. That saddens me. That's not the America I grew up in. When I was growing up, whatever the issues of your life were, you overcame them. Amen. But now it's like, well, I can't do that because I've got this and I got that. And the whole social industry, social worker industry is feeding that dog. And it's, I don't know, but I'm sad. It is what it is. But what's really sad to me is that Christians are falling for it too, left and right. Well, I can't. You got so many reasons you can't. I guess you got one why you can't read Philippians chapter 4 that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's a verse in Romans that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ gave us a victory. And I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm trying to start living like one. We're not perfect, not by a long shot. But, you know, we ought to be heading that way. We ought to be trying. Amen. We ought to be hanging around people that encourage us instead of hanging around people that just feed the negative. Amen. Amen. It's time to start acting like, are you saved?
Amen.
Do you realize that 99% of the population of this planet would trade places with anybody in here right now that fast? Amen. And you realize that most of the world is very poor. Most of the world is very oppressed. Amen. And you're going to heaven, and they're going to hell too. And you're going to heaven. And I understand we got problems. We got health problems. We got all kinds of problems. But I'll tell you what, they're minimal compared to most of the people in this world. And when America starts down mouthing everything, and Christian too, and complaining and whining. It ought not be that way. It's sad to me. You got a choice. You can be a victor through Jesus Christ. You can be accepted in the beloved, or you can be a victim. I don't know why anybody would choose the victim, but that's what you have to do. You have to choose. You have to make a choice this morning. Which are you? I'm not even asking if you're saved this particular question. I'm asking you, are you a victor or are you a victim? Amen. I'd like to encourage you. Amen. Listen, I got issues. People, God has put me around people that have encouraged me along the way. I thank God for that. Amen. And maybe if, you're struggling with something, maybe you need to get around some people that encourage instead of discourage, like we talked about in Sunday school. And maybe you've been around a little while and you've seen some things, and maybe you need to understand that you've got a responsibility to be a good example and maybe encourage somebody else. All right, so we got S-A-V, and then there's an E. Saved, that's saved. Am I spelling right? Yes, E. John 3. Finally got a response out of somebody. That's good. John chapter 3, and let me see. Let's find a verse. How about 16? John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? What does it say? Everlasting life. You know what the E stands for? E stands for everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. E stands for everlasting. E stands for eternal. Amen. The context of Romans chapter 3 is everlasting life or everlasting death. That shouldn't be a hard choice. Amen. Most Christians are taught they can lose their salvation. Amen. I come into this thing early. I mean, late in life, a baby Christian raised in a church that I never even knew there was such thing as eternal security. I didn't get any of that. And I wondered personally. I got saved in jail. I says, I don't know how long I can keep this up. These Christians are weird. You know, I'm the one with the ponytail. I'm the one with all the tattoos. I'm the one with all the baggage. I'm the one reporting to a PO once a month. Okay, once a week at first. Amen. And I thought you guys were a little strange. Amen. But I hung around and I learned some things. And I found out they're talking about if you're saved, you can't lose it. I went, really?
Amen.
Well, how can so many people think you can? So I just, you know, public school education, I went and got a dictionary, and I looked up everlasting. It says everlasting shall have everlasting life. So I looked the word up. You know what it means? It means everlasting. This King James Bible is so hard to understand, isn't it? That means, let me break it down for you. That means lasts forever. So when people get saved and believe they can lose their, say they do and then believe they can lose it, that is not the kind of everlasting life I got. I got the kind that lasts forever. Amen. Micah put it like this in chapter 4 and verse 5. For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God. Small g. Amen. Bible says there's God's many. We were coming out of a campground one time going to the church. There was a fitness gym on the way. There's about 50 cars in the parking lot. 9:30 in the morning. My wife looks and says, well, they're at church this morning. They're worshiping in the name of their God. Sunday morning. Then you go by on the way, and then there's a ball field. And they're out there playing soccer, playing football. And that's what's going on in America today. Amen. There's plenty of gods. And people will make whatever sacrifice necessary. Amen. Invest whatever they have to so that they can enjoy their God. Micah, it's verse 5 went on to say, and we, God's people, will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Amen. Everlasting life. We asked that guy, or the question was, question for you, are you saved? That guy said, I got the S. And I hope we started hoping he'd get the A. Because if you're saved, you're accepted in the beloved. I hope he gets it. And then you got victory. And that doesn't mean the flesh lays down. It doesn't lay down. The fight is on. Amen. But you know, there's victory through Jesus Christ. There's so many bad habits I had when I came to the Lord. And one by one by one by one. And I still got a list. Amen. But I got a lot of victory that I didn't have before. And that's what growing in grace and knowledge is. It's like a child growing. It's not overnight. It takes time. Amen. Sometimes we need to just let people mature. Amen. Grow up. Let God deal with them instead of giving them a list of what we think or where we think they ought to be. Amen. But you know that E also stands for escape. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's what we're talking about. This great salvation that Jesus Christ purchased on the cross of Calvary. It's such a great expense. This salvation that God wanted to make available to us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. The verse said in Hebrews said, how should we escape? And the escape is hell. And you neglect this great salvation. If you step into eternity without being saved, you have no guarantee you're going to make it home today. You're gambling with something you can't afford to lose. And if you step into eternity without Jesus Christ, you won't escape. You'll lift up your eyes in hell. And you know what you're going to know? You didn't have to be there. Jesus Christ did everything he could to keep you out of there. God put you at a church on a Sunday morning in Martville, New York, where a preacher is saying, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about understanding that you are, by virtue of your birth, a sinner, and that sin is not going to go to heaven, and no sin will be in heaven, and Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for your sin to be washed away. Why wouldn't you get in on that? We were talking earlier, people think, well, if I do that, then I'll have to do this. You need to stop right there. If you don't get saved, you don't have to worry about nothing else. You're going to end up in a devil's hell. Now, you get saved, maybe you'll grow some, maybe you won't. But at least you'll end up in the right place in eternity. Amen. Amen. Then the word ends with a D, saved. I should have just said saved, and then I could be done right now. But I'm not. There's a D. Here it says this in Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you have the quickened who were dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. That's where we all were. Dead in trespasses and sin. That zero tolerance thing, God started that. Yeah. And that's heaven. And there's zero tolerance because there'll be zero sin there. And he gives us a chance to get it all washed away. But if you don't, you're not going. You're dead. You'll stay dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. If you're not saved this morning, that's where you are. You're dead in trespasses and sin. I'm obligated to tell you the truth. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly with you. But if I don't tell you the truth, then I don't deserve to be in this pulpit. But the Bible also says in Romans chapter 6, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? You can't, and the choice is to be dead in sin, which will put you in hell, or dead to sin.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's spiritually. Again, the flesh doesn't go down without a fight, but you can be dead to sin and end up in the right place when this is over. If you're saved here this morning, if you got it, S-A-V-E-D, you got it all, then you went from being dead to sin to dead in sin to dead to sin. You know, I just want to finish with this. That guy in New York City, he got saved. He did. It took a little while. I didn't want to lead with that because, you know, I'd mess the message up. But let me ask you, are you saved? Are you saved? If you are, boy, you got in on something, man. You got more than just delivered from hell. And amen. That right there, that's enough for me. Amen. I didn't understand any of this. And I got saved in jail. I was on my way to federal prison. And I thought, well, at least I'm not going to hell. Amen. And then I made bond. And then I got probation. And then I started going to church and hanging around strange Christians and learning a little bit of my Bible. And everything changed. My perspective changed. God didn't make a wimp out of me when he made a Christian. God didn't put me in a way, well, you Christians don't have any fun. I have more fun than I ever had. Amen. Without the FBI following me. And the hangovers and all that stuff. That this world says it's worth it. It ain't worth it. Nothing's worth going to hell for. Nothing is worth going to hell for. Amen. If you got saved, you got delivered from hell. You got more of that. You got accepted in beloved. In the beloved. Amen. Amen. You got victory. You're on the winning side. Amen. I'll tell you something else. You got eternal life. That lasts forever. Eternal. Amen. And boy, dead to sin. Doesn't that sound better than being dead in sin? That's a hopeless scenario. But it's not hopeless in that there's no solution. But the solution is what? The solution is to be saved.
Amen.
Are you saved this morning? Let's all stand. Are you saved? Bunch of you are. Some of you I've known for over 20 years. Amen. Let me say that you've, it's a great honor to be welcome in this church, to be part of this ministry, and that you support us all these years. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for being a good influence on others in the community. And I've seen new faces come that were no doubt here because somebody walked it the way they talk it. That's what Christians do. But, you know, I don't know everybody in here. And I don't know if you're saved or not. Now, if you're not, boy, you can be. You just need to get honest with yourself and honest with God. Honest with yourself would be to admit something you already know. You're a sinner. Quit comparing yourself to the worst scenario you've ever heard on the news. Well, I'm not so bad. Well, okay. But compared to Jesus Christ, you've come short. Amen. And he made a way to even that scale out. And it's by calling on him, putting faith in his name. And if you're not saved this morning, you can get saved. Amen. And if you are saved here this morning and you know somebody that's here, I don't know, that's not, well, you need to be praying for them. You might even need to be down here on this altar praying for them. I don't do religious services. I don't care about that stuff. If it ain't real, then I don't even want to be part of it. Let's make sure it's real to us this week. Let's keep our hearts tender and sensitive and understand that as believers, we've got an obligation to be a good example. Maybe you know somebody here that's not saved, and maybe today, if the Lord leads, it'll be the day to say, hey, want to talk about it? I don't know. But I know this. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to yield ourselves to his leading. We need to let the Holy Spirit do his job. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're in here this morning, you're not saved. And maybe you've heard the lingo and all that. I know we're glad you're here. But if you just be honest with yourself and say, Brother Spurgeon, I don't have the confidence that I'd end up in heaven if I died today. Just me and you. Nobody's looking around. If you're at the altar, stay there. Don't turn around. Don't make a liar out of me. Head bowed, eyes closed. If you're in here and say, Brother Spurgeon, I don't have that assurance that I'd go to heaven. I know about being saved. I heard what you said, but I don't know. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Just slip your hand up. Just be that honest. Just be honest and slip your hand up and say, I don't know that I'm saved. Brother Spurgeon, would you pray for me? And I'm not going to point you out or nothing. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Just slip your hand up and say, Brother Spurgeon, I don't know that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody like that at all in here? Okay, well, I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case. Hope everybody's in here saved. And so let me say this. If that's true, and I don't have any reason to doubt it, boy, you got in on something. And one of the ways that you can show the Lord you appreciate what he did was be to come to this meeting this week. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Pastor's already told you. We intend to be assembled here tonight at 6, and every night this week at 7. And boy, that kind of showed the Lord that you don't really have anything more important to do than be in his house and sing his praises. And now, if you got to work, Lord understands that stuff. But if you can be here, I hope you are. And if you're in here and you're not saved and you didn't raise your hand, I get it. I know. We get nervous about things. We've all been there. But before you leave, before you walk out the door, pull one of us aside. Man with a man, lady with a lady. I mean, you can talk to me. Before you leave, say, Brother Spurgeon, could you talk to me a little bit more about that? And I'd be happy to. It's so simple. We worry, oh, I don't have to be there another hour. It took me 5 minutes in a jail cell alone. Just about being real. Be honest with God. Preacher's going to come. You listen to what he has to say. It's never too late. Let's mind God this morning. You ready?